Let's bow our heads to pray. Father God, again, we thank you so much for your word to us, and we ask this morning that your Holy Spirit, who inspired this word to be written in the first place, Father, we pray that he would help us as we seek to understand your word, and we ask not that we might just be filled with knowledge, but that we might live lives that are more obedient and more pleasing to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as always, it would help me if you can keep Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 to 13 in front of you and open as we are going through it. I guess that many people have longed that the church today generally, or St. Stephen specifically, or even that we ourselves might have a healing ministry such as Jesus. We look at this story of the centurion's servant being healed at a distance by just a word from Jesus. And we think that would be wonderful. It would be fantastic to have that sort of ministry, to be able to speak and for people to be healed in that sort of way, for Jesus to be operative by the Holy Spirit in through me or through our church. Lots of people have said, why can't the church today be more like the church of the Acts of the Apostles? Why can't we be more effective in that way? And if we look at this story of the centurion's servant, you'll see that clearly the centurion is key to the story. And so I just want to ask the question, what is it that we can learn from him? And look with me at verses 8 and 9 of Matthew chapter 8. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it. So we see the centurion saying to Jesus, only speak the word. You don't have to come, just speak the word. And what he is understanding is that Jesus has authority over sickness. He's able to say that he recognizes that if Jesus speaks a word against that sickness will go and the slave, the servant, will be healed. But more than that, what we understand is that the centurion realized about authority. And he compared Jesus' role in the spiritual realm to his own in the army. The centurion sees that Jesus is under authority and has authority. And he says in verse 9, I also, meaning that he and Jesus are the same in that instance, that regard, I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. In other words, that there is a hierarchy. There is a chain of command. There is the ultimate authority. And then there's the centurion, and he's sort of, in a sense, saying he's an equivalent of Jesus. And then other things that are under the authority of the centurion. And so it's worth just asking the question. I mean, it's obvious, but it's worth repeating and thinking about. Why does a Roman soldier go when he is told to go, or come when he is summoned? Especially if you imagine, for example, that the centurion might be quite small, and the soldier is physically enormous. Why on earth should the soldier obey the centurion? Centurion simply meaning, of course, a soldier, an officer who has 100 soldiers under him. I mean, you can imagine that if there was a rebellious soldier, he might turn around and say, I'm pretty big, make me go. And the officer would probably lose in a fist fight between the two of them. But what would happen to the soldier? The whole might of Rome is behind the centurion. And so when the centurion says, go, the soldier goes. Because he knows that to refuse to go would be rebellion. The soldier knows that the authority of the office of the centurion is backed by the power of Caesar. And the centurion sees that in Jesus' kingdom, in the spiritual realm, there is hierarchy in the same way. Jesus has authority, yes, he has authority given to him by the Father. And he has authority over sickness and over the demonic realm. And Jesus can give authority to whom he likes. That's what the centurion is recognizing. And when Jesus speaks, the demonic realm comes into line because Jesus is speaking as if he is the Father speaking. When Jesus speaks, the demonic realm comes into line because Jesus is speaking as if he is the Father. Imagine for a moment a family. I was listening to someone who is a family man speaking on this topic. And he was describing a situation where he said, imagine that he as dad was busy doing something in the kitchen, whatever. And he had two sons, this dad. And the elder son is busy watching his favorite program on the TV in the sitting room. And the younger son goes past in the hallway or whatever. And the dad looks around and sees that the bins are really stacked high. And so he says to younger son, oh, just go and tell older boy that it's his turn to empty the bins and get him to do it. And so younger son goes into the sitting room and he says to elder son, can you put the bins out, please? It's your turn. Now, elder son says, no, I'm watching my program. So what does younger son do? Younger son goes back to dad. He says he won't. What will dad do? Now, younger son in that example is exercising delegated authority. The dad's in charge of the household. The dad set the rota. The elder son, the younger son know exactly what the duties are. It's not something that's unusual. It was elder son's turn to take the bins out. That was the family rule. Elder son is ignoring the family rule. Younger son has delegated authority. Dad has said, please take the bins out. But instead of going himself, he's sending somebody else with his authority. Take the bins out. It's your turn. And so elder son is not just rebelling against younger son, which is what it looks like. He's actually rebelling against dad. Because younger son is coming with dad's delegated authority. So the older son, if he is wise, will recognize that delegated authority and obey the command. Now, it's important that we understand that God has established a hierarchy in the spiritual realm. The church is more like an army than anything else. I know we tend to talk about the church being loving and being a family and being a community and all of those sort of things. And those are true pictures that are given to us of family. We call the Creator God Father. But we also call him Lord and King. And the church is not just a bunch of people who are doing their own thing. The church is about people who have come into the kingdom. And the kingdom is about having a king. And a king rules. That is what kings do. And so if it's like an army, like a regulated thing, for an army to function, there has to be clear command and speedy obedience. And if you think about it for a moment, all the films that we've seen and books that we've read about war and about battles and things, sometimes the person who is in charge, the commander, will see a bigger picture than just the soldier. And the soldier receives a command, and it looks to him as though it's crazy or it seems difficult or he doesn't understand why he's got to do it, but he is trained to obey because that is what soldiers do and because he trusts that the commander, who has a bigger picture, knows what's going on. And so the way that the army functions is that there should be a clear command and a speedy obedience, even when the one obeying does not know the reason for the order. It's not his job. It is his job as the soldier to do what he is told quickly and cheerfully and thoroughly and completely. And so the question for you and me, as we start to think about the question of authority in the church, is does that relationship of quick, cheerful, thorough, and complete obedience to our commanding officer, does that summarize your relationship, my relationship with Jesus? Does that relationship summarize your relationship with the people that God has placed in authority over you? In all of us are people who are under authority and with authority over others. That's true of every single adult. We have at the very least authority of our own lives, what we're welcoming into our own lives, what we're keeping out of our own lives. But almost all of us have direct responsibility and authority over people for whom we are responsible, and all of us are under authority. Policemen, for example, the government, all sorts of other people who are in authority over us. They have an office that they have been given, which gives them authority over us. Are you and I quick to obey? Are we cheerful in our obedience? Are we thorough in our observance? Are we carrying our obedience through until it is completed? We just need to test ourselves in terms of, you know, do we resent the government? Do we say, well, speed limits are for everybody else, but not for us? Are we willing to be submitted to the authorities that God has placed in the physical realm? Because for us to have victory in the spiritual realm, we must know where we stand in the spiritual realm. We are like junior officers in the Lord's army. We're not right at the very bottom, because we have people who we are in authority over, and as soon as we become Christians, we have authority in the demonic realm. So we're not people who are right at the bottom, but we are people who all have senior officers over us. And we need to see ourselves as those who first and foremost are under authority. And then we are those with delegated authority in the name of Jesus, speaking with the authority of Jesus. And when we speak like that, the demonic kingdom lines up. There's an interesting passage that comes in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Jesus has sent out the 70. He sends out the 12 in the first place, and then he sends out 70 disciples. They go out in pairs, and he gives them specific authority to go and proclaim the gospel and to heal, to drive out demons and to heal the sick. And they come back to Jesus at verse 17 of chapter 10 and say, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. Submit in that, the word that's used is hypotasso, which is a military term. It means come into line. It means that they're submitting, they're standing in line, in order. And that's what's happening in the spiritual realm when the disciples go out with the authority of Jesus. So we need to see that we ourselves are in this relationship of being under authority and with authority. We are people who have delegated authority in the middle. But if we are trying to say, but I still want God to bless me. I still want God to be doing all sorts of stuff in my life. But I won't submit. I won't submit to God. Then we need to recognize that that's why it is that very often the church is not powerful anymore. We're not effective. And this whole question of authority and submitting to authority is very challenging for us because we are naturally rebellious. It's just true of all of us that we are made rebellious rather than submissive. And it's more difficult for us, particularly in our generation, Because we live in a culture that since the 1960s has made a god of individualism. There was a sort of reaction against the way that things were organized in the 30s and then in the 50s. And the 60s said, stuff it, the whole revolution. And that was the point. We've got revolution, and we will have student revolution, and we'll have sexual revolution, and we'll have every sort of revolution just to say, I'm going to do my thing and do it my way. And we do not have that sort of submissive spirit. So our instincts are to be rebellious against authority, and then our whole culture has now got a culture of absolute individualism. I can do what I want. You know, the happiness is I can do my thing, and sometimes they add the little constraint of, well, as long as you don't harm anybody else. But I can do exactly what I want. I will stay up, I'll go stay late, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do the other, because I'm in charge of my life. I'm the authority. And so for us to voluntarily to come into submission under Christ as King goes against every instinct that we have. No, I want to do my own thing. I want you to bless me, Lord. I'd love to be useful in yours, but no, I won't rebel. No, I won't submit. Do you see how that tension is there? That what Jesus is modeling, and we'll think a bit more about this next week, what Jesus is modeling is somebody who is wholly surrendered to the Father, and in that surrender is able to exercise the Father's authority. But as soon as we start to be different from that and rebel against God and rebel against his authority in the rules that he gives to us, in the instructions that he gives to us, in the people that he places with authority over us, when we rebel against them, then we're stepping out from God's covering and God's control, and therefore, of course, we're stepping out from God's blessing as well. So this question of authority, it absolutely gets at where we don't want to submit to it, but it is something that is enormously important. Speaking for myself, I find that I don't want to obey God quickly and cheerfully and thoroughly and completely. There are all sorts of things that are difficult. But of course, I still want God to bless me and use me for his glory in his kingdom. And so there is that tension that is there. Rebellion is deep within all of us. You know, there are going to be some people who will say, well, I've just got this besetting sin. I struggle with gambling, or I struggle with lust, or I struggle with pornography, or I struggle with alcohol, or I struggle with anger. And they can want to be godly, and they can come and ask to be prayed for about that particular thing again and again and again and again. Why is it that they're coming back again and again? Well, mostly because it's a refusal to be wholehearted in our rejection of the sin in our lives. We will not submit to what God tells us to do. And that rebellion is at the heart of our attitude towards God. And it is something that we need to change. With those besetting sins, it's not so much that we can't change, it's much more that we won't change. And if we are to be effective for the kingdom, then we must be in that place of submitted to God's authority over our lives, and then being able to exercise the delegated authority that God gives to us. It is glorious to be in that place of being able to be an effective servant of the Lord in his kingdom, in the spiritual realm. It is worth the effort of getting there, But no one is suggesting that it is easy. You can't just sort of swan in and say, fine, okay, That heart attitude of rebellion needs to be repented of. And we need to be willing to submit to God and to submit to those earthly authorities that God has placed over us. Because that is a mark of our willingness to submit to God. And when we submit to God, who loves us and will bless us and wants the best for us. And so that's why the old Anglican prayers say, thy service is perfect freedom. The world offers us, it says, come this way, do this thing, and it will be wonderful, you'll be liberated and free. And actually we see that gambling becomes an addiction that is slavery. It's not, it offered life, but actually it isn't that at all. And we can see exactly the same thing about many other sins and problems that the world says, oh, this is wonderful, just get engaged in this, do this, be completely free, sleep with as many people as you like, all of that stuff. And then actually it becomes an addiction. It becomes something that out of which we can't break. It takes all our money. It does not offer life and life in all its fullness. The world says it offers life, but actually we know it doesn't. What the world tells us is that, oh, God is a taskmaster. He's going to demand all sorts of stuff from us. But actually, those of us who are beginning to learn what he is like know that the more we are willing to submit to him and surrender to him and to let him rule our lives, the more there is freedom, because Jesus has come to bring life and life in all its fullness. But we have to nail the lie, which is ultimately satanic, that our culture and the world tells us that's what real life is about. We have to acknowledge that for what it is and refuse it. We have to choose to submit to Christ in order to find ourselves in the right place, then to be useful to him in the for the purposes of the kingdom. So next week we're going to come back and look at the example of Jesus himself, who was fully human, tempted just as we are, and yet was fully submitted to the Father, and as a result was wonderfully useful to him. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus and for his authority, the authority that you gave to him. We thank you for this reminder in the story of the centurion servant of the power of the Lord Jesus, that at a distance, by a word, he was able to heal that servant. Father, we thank you that that is the God we serve, who brings life, who brings restoration, who brings wholeness, who wants happiness and the best for his people. But Father, we pray that you would help us as we personally struggle with this idea of submitting to you, that we struggle with our own personal rebellion, we want to do our own thing. Father, please help us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to recognize the areas where we are rebellious. Help us to be convicted of our rebellion by the Holy Spirit, so that we can then come in repentance and faith to the foot of the cross, let go of those things, and ask to be changed by you, so that we are increasingly submitted, increasingly able to receive that delegated authority that you want to give to us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.